Hey, this is Alvin Nedab, your host of Music Memories, and my co-host,
Deborah Nedab.
And guess what, Deborah?
What?
We're moving.
We're moving?
That's right. We're moving from Mondays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., to Saturdays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., starting next Saturday, March 22nd. And Deborah, guess what?
What?
We're going to still continue to play the best old-school music of all time. So we just want you to be there. 89.3.
I'm Elliot Gross, the host of the Don't Forget the Blues Hour. You are tuned to member-supported WPFW in Washington.
Bet you can't even see the sun. Oh, but the sun is shining right before your eyes. I bet you can't even see yourself. 'Cause when you're lost, sometimes yourself is hard to find. I can see the sun in late December. I see forgotten treasures neath the sea, tides that defeat identity, washing away the beauty that was in your mind. I can hear the sounds you don't remember, the sounds of birds and trees in harmony, chords being blown by a gentle breeze, making the perfect melody you left behind. Bet you can't even see the moon, 'cause through your eyes you only see the darkest side. I bet you can't wish upon a star, 'cause through your life your pride has pushed your dreams aside. Oh, I can see the sun in late December. I see forgotten treasures neath the sea, tides that defeat identity, washing away the beauty that was in your mind. Sounds you don't remember, the sounds of birds and trees in harmony, chords being
gentle breeze, making the perfect melody you left behind. Oh, lady, I can see the sun in late December. I see forgotten treasures beneath the sea, tides that defeat identity, washing away the beauty that was in your mind. Play along with us, Holly. Hey, I can hear the song you don't remember. Sound the birds and trees. How many could be in love? Gentle breeze making the perfect melody.
Radio Land. It is 6:07 p.m. Monday, March 24th, and this is Suge's Line. So perhaps you're joining us on the World Wide Web via satellite or some other technology or beyond. But if you're in D.C. or the surrounding areas, that means your dial is on 89.3 WPFW. This is listener-supported, community-powered radio. The reason that you are able to hear my voice is because the community has invested in keeping WPFW alive and making a show like this one possible. So on the Monday slot from 6 to 7 p.m., WPFW is broadcasting Inside Out Radio. So what is Inside Out, you ask? It's a collective of different broadcasting hosts creating this programming to take you into diverse perspectives of the queer community and to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an inclusive lens. Inside Out is the only show on DC radio in the area and one of only a handful in the country that are like specifically uplifting this kind of voice, this kind of perspective. And I am the host of Inside Out on fourth Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. It's the fourth Monday today, March 24th, and the next time you'll hear from me is on April 28th. But let's ID the tracks that you heard. We were getting into some live artistry, some live musical takes, starting off with Stevie Wonder performing a great song by famously attributed to Roberta Flack, I Can See the Sun in Late December. I'm getting just a little bit emotional. Like the first time I heard that performance, saw the visuals alongside of that performance of Stevie Wonder in 1974, a much younger man, but still like just putting forth really important music and just the poignancy of what that song sort of speaks to even from the first line of like, you know, you can't see the sun, although it's shining right in your eyes. To hear that coming from Stevie Wonder, it just really hit me in a different place. And the story I read about it was that Roberta Flack was a big fan of Stevie Wonder, and he became good friends with her, called her on the phone and said, "Hey, I wrote this song and the song is for you." And I think that, you know, I also included a song by the Delphonics, Live on Soul, which was a great TV show that came out in 1972. I don't know if anybody else out there has a Tubi problem like I do, but you can watch great Black media and content like Soul, which is the TV show. This episode in particular that the Delphonics were on was hosted by Nikki Giovanni. And they, the Delphonics are, you know, they're giving us that good, slow, sensual Philly soul sound. And these two songs, I chose them to help me introduce my esteemed guest, my friend that calls me up with amazing ideas that might as well be music to my ears, Tafari Robertson, a Philadelphia-based creative, organizer, artist, visionary, designer, just you name it. Tafari is really making a lot of great strides in Philadelphia, you know, our neighbors to the north from DC area. And yeah, like Tafari, why don't you just introduce yourself, share about the communities of colleagues and friends that, you know, sort of you find yourself a part of.
Hey. Yeah, thank you for that beautiful introduction. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, yeah, I'm Tafari. I'm an artist. I'm a part of a lot of communities. I feel like I owe everything to the communities that I'm a part of. I'm in community with you, Sweet. I'm very excited to be here on the radio with you, my first DC radio moment. This is cool. I did college radio, so this is a cool through line. That was, you know, a big musical community I was a part of as well. I made a lot of friends through there. So it really imparted on me like the power of independent radio and community radio. Because for our town, we were the radio station. We were the local radio station. So it wasn't just college, it was everything. So radio is really sweet to me. But yeah, I think just about myself and what I've been doing in Philadelphia as an artist, we worked together on an event called the Downtempo Lovers Bowl. And of course we had worked together before in a lot of different musical and creative capacities. Black Folks Don't Swim, of course, you know, putting on live shows and just being in the community, the free brunch program. So I'm just saying that as these places where I go and I know where to find you, and we find each other, you know, flying kites, sitting in the park, eating fruit, making food. And all that kind of goes into what brought this moment together too, the Black Historians Department. It's like that's really where the stories are built. And so that has become something more recently I'm realizing is my artistic practice in terms of really paying attention to, well, where is this really happening? Because we have this idea that it happens because we make it happen through the moments where we're working and we're meeting and we're, you know, sort of like forcing it into existence. But for me, I think a lot of what my art has become is looking at how do we get outside of that. Of course, a lot of work is still going into it, but I've been thinking of it as a social practice.
Yeah, and social practices. I think that, you know, you described a lot of things that sort of like describe the contours of a life in Philly for a Black artist right now, which, you know, in spite of the collapse of Empire and, you know, some of the echoes that are in the DC area and the Philly area, like our life is like a Jill Scott song. Like we take long walks in the park and we eat good food and we see our friends and we see, you know, just a myriad of a diverse community coming together and, yeah, being in the practice of, you know, kind of maybe like breaking up art imitating life or life imitating art. Like maybe it's both of these things. So I appreciate you like waking that up. You know, you have a note sort of about like community abstraction versus individual abstraction. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, I think, for me, I put that note specifically because I think of the work as I do, it's very abstract and experimental, but a lot of the idea came from like, well, how do you be experimental in this way that is for our community and from our community? And I think because a lot of what people will think of when you say abstract art is they think of that sort of like, there's that Gil Scott-Heron quote where he talks about like a lot of people think of poetry as if you can't understand it, then it must be deep. And I think people think similarly about that way with abstract art. And so how do you get a community to abstract and feel like they're a part of that? And you trade some of the individual like abstraction. So I just wanted to make that distinction because I think that's what we do with music and with Down Tempo Lover's Ball. It's like it's a little bit of burying the lead where it's like this is still experimental because we're doing an experiment. We're still testing this water and we're still pushing against something. But sometimes it's not me to a person. Sometimes it's us to a space.
Can you repeat that Gil Scott-Heron like or that kind of quote again?
I'll
That
find it and I'll
was
send it to you. But he's like a lot of people think about poetry and when somebody says something they just don't understand, they're like, well, it must be deep. And he's really just making the point about like I think it was Gil Scott-Heron. I've always really appreciated him as being like, you really understand it. Nikki Giovanni, they're speaking plain. And it's poetic, and it's poetic, and it means a lot to you. But, and so I always try to give myself that reminder whenever I see myself going to, I like abstraction. So I'm trying to say this without disregarding
Abstracting too
abstraction.
much, especially in this format of radio or organizing events or anything. But I think there is something really to be said for, what happens when Black life specifically becomes an abstraction of itself. But what does it mean to actually be a part of the space, the spaces, the places, and the ethos that it's kind of like putting forward? These important works and artifacts, be they events, be they certain musical forms, because, me and, a big thread of my research always, of course, is the blues. I always will come back to the blues because that's where I find myself spending a lot of thinking time. But it's like, we can come back and we can write books about what it was like to, go to a juke joint in the forest and what does it mean about, Black people creating this artistic art form as they're coming out of Reconstruction and exploring a new identity of what it means to be Black and what it means to try to like piece together an identity, excuse me, post-enslavement. And also, like, we can just listen to these music. We can just sort of like feel through these spaces. And I think that, recently, you sort of talked about the event that we came together and really like co-brought into the world, which was the Down Tempo Lovers Ball, which was really just sort of like wake up exploring down tempo as sort of like a way that Black genre making is happening, or to really talk about like certain music or certain moods that we all find ourselves gravitating towards potentially. Where I'll read a little bit of a guidebook that you put together, where in down tempo, at first glance, it seems like an umbrella term in contrast to up tempo. So, up tempo includes a range of genres that lean into a faster pace. But down tempo could include the range of genres that prioritize slowing down. So while up tempo music, it can hold space for rising energy and excitement among other virile emotive states, down tempo holds implications for emotional thoughtfulness, sensuality, romance, and careful storytelling. And I remember that, the way you brought the idea to me was like, I'm not gonna say it was similar to the way that Stevie Wonder might have given Roberta Flack a song, but I felt that where you called me and you said, I have this idea, like, we talk about music a lot, and about, we move through different sounds from, Kalela's music to Ella Fitzgerald's music to, Angelique Kidjo, and trying to find a connective thread through all of these artists. And you kind of offered up down tempo as a window into those states. And I feel like there was a subtle proliferation for me of like where at first I was kind of like, well, okay, you're just naming a bunch of people who I would like put on a playlist to like get into the vibe that I need to get into. But now I just like see this moving throughout the musical spaces I'm a part of that I'm traveling to and just like, really capturing my own ethos. So I'm excited to kind of like, we sort of began this conversation, but now to continue with some more of your musical selections. So I don't know, is there anything you want folks to keep in mind as they listen to Fari?
Well, yeah, I'll just say real quick, I think the last thing you said is giving you a framework to start looking at what you're listening to, looking at what you're listening to, but listening to it, you know. But now we have this frame, this term to start sorting through some of these things that can connect across generations. It's like that's the through line, which we'll talk more about, of course. But I think just starting from a point of view of it just being like, well, it's down tempo. So what's happening? What's happening to it that makes it down tempo? And
Right.
carrying that through it, and what does that mean for you?
Right. So the word is down tempo, and we'll roll into some more music.
out on the highway, like a creature from another time. It inspires the baby's questions.
What's that?
For their mothers as they ran. But no one stopped to think about the babies or how they would survive. And we've almost lost Detroit this time. Ever get over losing our minds? Just 30 miles from Detroit stands a giant power station. It ticks each night as the city sleeps. The seconds from annihilation. But no one stopped to think about the people or how they would survive. And we almost lost Detroit this time. How would we ever get over losing our
December, I see white and crystal.
your lips were close to mine, and I saw the midnight stars forget to shine, and we may see the meadow in December. I see white and crystalline, but oh my darling, always I'll remember when your lips were closed to mine, and I saw the midnight sun, the midnight sun, the midnight sun, the midnight sun.
Hello, I'm Dave Zirin, host of WPFW's The Collision, with an editorial. Mahmoud Khalil, a student at Columbia University and a U.S. permanent resident, has been illegally detained by ICE for organizing against the U.S.-supported genocide in Palestine. In detaining Khalil, the Trump administration, the State Department, and the Department of Homeland Security have made clear that they are more than willing to violate constitutionally protected rights to punish those who speak out against them and Israel's war on the people of Gaza. This is a deeply alarming development. It is a march towards authoritarianism. It is a blatant encroachment on our democracy, and it places all of us in peril, especially members of the most vulnerable and marginalized communities in our country. In the words of Angela Davis, if they come for me in the morning, they will come for you at night. Standing together as people of conscience and demanding Mahmoud Khalil's freedom, it is a stand against fascism, and it is a stand for our collective right to free speech and protest. I'm Dave Zirin. This has been a WPFW editorial.
It's 6:33 p.m. It's Monday, March 24th, and you're listening to Sweet Corey Bay, the newest member of the Inside Out Radio Collective for Shug's Line Radio, and this is WPFW FM 89.3. All the music that we explored before the station break with a very important message was curated by me and my guest and friend, Tafari Robertson. I personally feel that Tafari owes a lot of people a DJ set, a lot of people a moment on the aux cord. So in preparation for this episode, I was like, hey, I need you to send me some music. And so I wanted to know, like, the songs that you selected for us was, of course, Soul Family Sensation and I Don't Know If I Should Call You Baby. And Gil Scott-Heron, We Almost Lost Detroit, where my ears picked up a Kia sample. For the listeners out there, I, of course, added Midnight Sun by Ella Fitzgerald, the 1964 version, into the mix. And what did you think of, you know, where we were able to take people with that little volley of songs, Tafari?
Yeah, I think that's a good rundown of a little bit of a historical perspective. We're going through, you know, the late 80s, 90s version of downtempo, which to me, I distinguished, there's downtempo, the umbrella, and then there's downtempo, the genre, which is like a genre of electronic dance music. which in the guidebook I kind of make this distinction of, well, when you have dance music and electronic music, tempo becomes a specific indicator because you have people who are specifically engaging with BPM. So that's why there's more techno, but then to be techno, but then again, to make the decision to say like, but we're going to bring it down. So we're going to go, you know, below 160, we're going to go below 90, we're going to go, you know, it's not about cranking you up. So that's, I was really excited to do that because that also, I think, just showcases that diaspora lens, you know, that's a lot of UK artists. That was a really big genre in the UK in the 90s. That also just spread throughout, you know, you can hear it in Amapiano in South Africa. There's a lot of artists I was coming across there in West African, in Nigeria. And a lot of people really latched on to that in the 90s. So I was just excited to get that in there. There's Soul Family Sensation is from the UK. And then, of course, Gil Scott-Heron, one of my favorite. We already made the mention of that. But I think this one I really like because we talk about like, what does downtempo make you do? And careful storytelling is one that always stood out to me. Because when you know, this moment of like beat poetry that happens in the late 60s into the 70s, and of course it's before then, but then with the fusion of soul and jazz and this opportunity to where it's like, hold on, I can kind of sing, but now there's this other experimental freedom of being like, I can just make space for me to tell the story of literally what happened, which of course comes up from blues, but now it's like merging with this other genre where poets can then, you know, lend to what becomes neo soul literally. And so here he's literally telling about a nuclear accident that happens in Detroit, just, you know, poetically, but almost verbatim. We almost lost Detroit. He means that literally. There was a nuclear accident. I'll pull the facts up about that later so I don't say anything wrong. But I just think thinking about those decisions of being like, let's slow this down so that people really understand what happened, you know, for political poets and musicians was an important option to take on in the 70s and the 60s.
Right. I think you're already sort of showing that the concept of down tempo that we are endeavoring to explore, it really has legs. It really kind of allows us to engage with, you know, Black music as a braid instead of like maybe separating out, you know, our folks across the diaspora as like their own sort of situation, but just sort of bringing it all under one umbrella of how can we explore a particular experience of Black life, which is to slow down, which is to reflect, which does infuse a kind of sensuality when you take a pause to, you know, experience different moments or different sensations, which I think came through so clearly in that version of Midnight Sun, even just from the imagery of a sun after midnight. And, you know, the feeling of someone leaving stardust on your sleeve, no matter what that means, just in a context of, you know, brushing up against people who are just as full of a universe as you are. We each are universes unto ourselves, and we're just trying to find ways to pilot through it. But, you know, we talked about the Downtempo Lovers Ball, which was an event that first happened in Philadelphia around the winter solstice of 2024, wherein we kind of created a space to try to imagine what does it mean to hold, to create a public space where folks kind of can really go from Billie Holiday to Kalela to kind of have those things coexist. I think you also really woke up sort of like calling it down tempo. It specifically kind of infuses a more contemporary or modern lens, if you will, because DJs are getting to engage with newer forms of making music, whether it's beat repetition or looping or sampling, you know, all these things are where house, techno, jungle, dub, all these things come from applications of these new technologies. But, you know, instead of asking a DJ or MC or band to keep the energy up, to make it lively, to make it social, because of playing sort of like a more up-tempo feel, down-tempo allows us to get into other things. So sort of, you know, you brought this to me inside of the lens of Black genre making, but I wonder what purpose does Black genre making serves? What does it describe? What are the historical processes that, in sort of like, you know, bringing this forward, bringing down tempo forward, what are you trying to wake up for folks? How can folks participate in that?
I think centering around this word of down tempo for me is about giving people a language. So not necessarily answering a question, but I think making Black genre makers, because I think it's something that came forward for me is like, again, this is the experimental part. This is the space where we make genre. So for Black people who don't necessarily own record labels or major production companies, so our general idea of a genre, making a genre, would be a means to organize your record shop. You know, it would be a means to organize and name how you're delivering music. So that's where things like an executive is naming this rock, because that's what they are going to use to market this artist. An executive is going to name this hip hop because that's what's going to name, you know, the tag and the metadata for our sales, you know. And so then a lot of artists we see year after year have grievances with the fact that they don't feel in control of their own image and their own sound because their genres are being assigned to them. So this idea of identifying ourselves is still being stripped away, you know, when you reach a certain level. But the idea of it happening somewhere else and returning that and saying like, opening up this opportunity to say like, okay, well, we have words where we can revisit this process of like, what do we call our genres and where does it happen? And where does, you know, and where do we, you know, participate? Because it always happens. I feel like that's the historical side of me, the Black historians department is like, well, it's always happening. We're always, you know, whether that's, you know, like I think being here in Philly, watching kids escalate tempo, you know, to go counter from what we're talking about, but to create these new club genres and being like, wait a minute, that's genre building. Like that's genre making, because that's what house is. Like electronic music can be organized by specific allegiances to BPM, depending on who you talk to. So when middle schoolers are on YouTube saying like, no, play it double time, they're making a new genre, you know?
Yeah, I think you're waking up a lot and you're bringing it like right to the point of, you know, you can look and see Black youth on the corner doing dances that are so fast to me at the age that I'm at right now. But, you know, it can easily like hark back to, you know, I remember like the first time I read the autobiography of Malcolm X and like sort of reading about all the dancing that was taking place when it came to like Lindy Hop and things like that. Like it was fast. People was getting thrown in the air, like, you know, so feeling that reverberation to go all the way back. But to kind of rewind a little bit to what you were talking about with genre specifically, you know, kind of emerging as a tool of capitalism in the music industry. It was a method for ultimately selling records and kind of like codifying music as a product that can reach the masses. And it really makes me think of like a music history tidbit I sort of like encountered, where it was talking about when records were initially being manufactured and the Black genre back, you know, when it was race music and it sort of made the turn to being rhythm and blues. It sort of talked about one side of the record was rhythm, speaking about rhythm changes or more up-tempo sounds, and the other side was blues. So that sort of spoke to something more down-tempo, a different kind of mood that was being put forward. And then
Well, I just want to add on that too, because I think it's, then you have to start asking the question, because what happens when the executive is doing that is you got a lot of people who are saying like, wait, I don't play blues, I play country. I don't play blues, I play folk. I play Zydeco, I play, you know, all of these different things. And so that is just as that reminder of, you know, that there is a conversation, like we already are having the conversation. I think it's just the reminder of being like, well, let's start paying attention to where we have our own names for things. Cause even like, I kind of joke with myself now where I'm like, the history of Memphis blues, I could take the same process and I, you know, maybe will one day, but I'm like, Glorilla is a blues artist. There's a legacy there of making music that is rejecting, you know, the imagery assigned to yourself as Black people, as Black women in this country, as things like that. And you can find that. Blues was, you know, smutty. Blues was dirty at a certain point. And so now the same people who assign that to youth is, you know, are missing that legacy. So that's another reason for us to reorganize and also to create this sort of timelessness to know that we are carrying so much history with us. And I think that's another thing that creating something like Down Tempo and sharing that together gives us a way to do.
Yeah, I really like too the way that sort of this it down tempo as a framework for me, it really elevates the choices that people are making. I think that, you know, we are on DC radio right now. DC is where the original Quiet Storm originated, and the Quiet Storm is a genre that sort of aggregated music all the way from DC artists all the way to Philly artists and the sound of Philadelphia soul, all the way out to, you know, our lovely folks in the Midwest, like, you know, I'm in Love, like the Gap Band might sing, all the way, like, you know, these concepts of mobilization sort of created an expectation, a audio format, because DJs were saying, let's grab this mood together, let's grab these kinds of songs together and make a location that listeners, that DJs can come to and be inside of. Listeners sort of uplift that by saying, okay, let me listen to this type of music. Let me use it to create a certain kind of experience for myself and the people around me. Like, you know, living in a city is, I'm hearing my music, the music of my neighbors. And, you know, I have neighbors at the end of the block that have great taste. And I love when they set the tone for my day because they chose to listen to the classic station. All the way around to musicians who are really sort of like standing on a platform of choices that are, you know, sonic ancestors have made. So when it comes to, you know, Kia pulling in a sample from Gil Scott-Heron, or, you know, I, of course, I'm, you know, a part of Black Folks Don't Swim, us choosing to make a song like By Now, which is a complete overture to the Quiet Storm sound. Like, what does it mean to kind of like activate that? And I think this kind of wakes up another part of your Black genre making guidebook, where it's, there's a passage that says, the choice to slow down is hardly new and generally not in contrast to an up-tempo demand. So these things are coexisting. You go on to say that unraveling down-tempo as a genre also makes room for us to center Blackness over format. It allows for us to move across genres and timelines to collect artists who may otherwise be disassociated, from their potential sonic legacy. And I think, you know, you and I were having a conversation last night about Michelle and Deyotello, about Luther Vandross, about one of the most heartbreaking slow songs, blues songs in Aretha Franklin's category being Ain't No Way, which was written by, you know, her queer sister, because that is kind of the lens that ties us back to queerness, is that folks are getting disassociated from their sonic legacy when it comes to genre uplifting certain names, certain formats, certain ways of being over others. And I think that, yeah, Down Tempo is, you know, potentially a really important site of reclaiming, aggregating, just folks in this music. And I wonder what more you have to say about that before, you know, before we play our last musical selection.
Yeah, I just think the main thing is, yes, like I think Black genre making, and as I was writing it too, I'm thinking about this conversation with identity and what it means to identify yourself and to make that already is this like amorphous process where it's like, okay, there's all these things that influence you and it can change at any time and there's things, but the point is that you're the maker. You can make your own decisions about your genre. And that historically has always happened at the fringes. Well, not the fringes, you know, not to be like pushing anything outside, but to say like it is, you know, to desire something new, to be unwritten, to go against the popular mass, and risk that erasure that does happen, those things. So that is where we consistently find, fine, I need to express something that isn't held in this space. And there's a new genre. I need to change something about this music so I can feel comfortable in it. Boom, that's a new genre, you know? So I think fundamentally it's a queering activity. So it's a, you know, because that's what calls for the making of new, you know, because there isn't a space that holds you or cares for you properly. And I think for Black people in general, it's an identity that is uncared for creatively throughout American history. We're kind of confined to this American, you know, popular culture in a way that constantly reminds us that they don't care to hold us in the way that we care for ourselves. So we have to kind of take these moments to remind ourselves of ways to reassociate to the care that has and does exist. And we can't look upwards to the popular capitalist mass. We've got to remind ourselves to look and make our own associations through history, looking beside us, below us, around us, because there are people who are doing that. I think that, again, that connection. The last thing I have to just say is, you know, being from Texas, I think I was talking about picking up the tempo and changing the genre, but also slowing down. So when you are chopped and screwed, like DJ Screw and cruising music and blues, it's all, there's choices that, again, literally putting your hand on the record, weighing it down and saying, I'm making this for me. I had a friend in college, shouts out, you know, Keenan. He had a feature on his phone where you could change the speed just of the audio in general. So we would hang out and everything would just be halftime. And at a certain point, we just forgot. And that was just a part of the fact that's like, we're going to be here for a while, you know?
Yeah, so. I love that. Because we are both physical media aficionados. Maybe we'll talk about that as we close out. But let's go to one more contemporary selection from Kia, who last I heard, Kia was in DC, was in 2023 at The Pocket. Shout out to the great organizers over The Pocket that made that happen. But let's go to Kia with Heavenly. My guest, of course, is Tafari Robertson. You're listening to WPFW 89.3. This is the Inside Out Collective and Shizline Radio.
In most situations, most all the time, I know I'm one of those everybody. My soul loves carelessly. My God.
My name is Bailey Moody.
This is WPFW 89.3. My name is Sweet Corey Bay. I'm here for Shook's Line Radio as the newest member of Inside Out Collective. We come to you on every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m., but I am your host on fourth Mondays. So the next time I will be on, it will be April 28th. We are closing out the first quarter of the year, y'all. The illustrious guest that joined me this hour is none other than Tafari Robertson, founder of the Philadelphia-based Black Historians Department, although Black Historians Department is really worldwide, creator of Down Tempo Lovers Ball, and, you know, just a really important cultural organizer in Philadelphia. Although I know that you intend to kind of move more up and down the East Coast so that you can spread yourself around a little bit. Isn't that so?
And Texas, listen, I just need to keep right. saying it because I love the South. The South got something to say. Andre 3000, you know, and
you count DC as the South.
More and more every day. I think okay. the South Star. I think the
that
South
was a hot seat question. Sorry.
No. I think the estuary is Philly. New York is where the North begins, but it really begins. The Northern culture that I imagined in my head when I had never been here before, the people I meet who actually embody that are above New York.
Like, yeah, it's true. Like, Philly is like a Connecticut. Very country place yeah. in certain aspects. Yeah, D.C., Prince George's County and beyond, it has its ways and mores. You know, on a side note, too, of like my endless fascination with Tubi, I was watching something called A Woman Called Moses, and it had Cicely Tyson in it and, you know, playing Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman is from Maryland, and it sort of like details one of the first journeys she took like 2 weeks to get from DC to Philly, which is a drive we do all the time. But anyhow, I won't go down that rabbit hole. Thanks so much for listening to us on Inside Out Radio. I plan to bring Tafari back. You know, you can find me on Instagram at Shugsline to, you know, hear more about the next time we'll be on the radio. And thanks so much for listening to WPFW.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Do I have time for one last line?
Just about. 2 minutes till the hour.
Yeah, well, just thank you for having me. And I just want to leave people on the note that, you know, Down Tempo is, you know, is still happening. And I'm excited to come back so we can talk more about that. And I'm excited that you have me. I'm very inspired by everything you do, the work you put in, the detail, the care, the style, all of it.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, and on April